Good evening, everybody. This is the Judicial Call. It's June 15th, 2025. And I'll turn this over to Justice Waters.
Thank you, sir.
Yep.
Hello, everybody. This is the Judicial Call. Today's date is June 15th, 2025. It's a Sunday. Tonight we are holding a proceeding of court against Kyra Thompson. Next Sunday it will be the grand jury against another individual, and then with a court case if it's a true bill. Glad to have everybody. Mark, could you read off the top 12 people?
Did you want to start with a prayer and then swearing in first, sir?
Sure, go ahead. Go.
Okay. Yahweh, our Heavenly Father, in the name of Yeshua, we give you praise, glory, and worship for all the evil that is being exposed, warned, and cleansed from the earth. We pray for mercy for the souls that can be saved and judgment on those who cannot be. We speak life into your prophecies that have yet to be fulfilled and know that you have perfect divine timing on when they come to pass. Help us to grow strong in your word, your will, and your ways, and in that we may be shaped and formed into warriors of the truth, for you are God and there is no other. We pray for blessings, protection, health, and wisdom for all militaries that fight with valor to free your people from evil, tyrannical entities. May soldiers and their families receive just reward for their service, Father. We ask for Psalms 91 in its entirety to be implemented for all warriors in this fight, for liberty and justice, and for all who cherish it. Pray for Psalms 82 to continue to bring our court systems back to biblical common law righteousness and throw out judging only on precedence, for you delight in the just laws and just weights and measures, Father. We have faith by this decree that soon liberty and justice shall be proclaimed throughout this land. So, Father, we ask you to put a dome of protection on our presidents, ourselves, our families, and our friends, their families and their friends, that the enemy cannot penetrate. We pray the fullness of Psalm 75 over this whole earth. So God save the children, God save the Republic, God save America, Canada, and descendants of 12 tribes of Israel. We ask in Yeshua's mighty and precious name. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Thank you, Mark.
Yes, sir.
Before we go too far down the road here, would somebody, I'm going to ask somebody to pick out of Proverbs chapter 6. Let me find where it starts. Hard for me to see it right now. Where it says that he hates these six things, yea, seventh is an abomination. I want you to know that Kyra Thompson and people like her have done all six of those things. They've walked in their own faith for themselves. They've lied about other people. They've ran into confusion. They made sure that there was confusion so people couldn't understand what was going on. And then they had false witnesses against other people. They lied about that. And then the seventh one is where they sow discord amongst the brethren. And these people have done that. They've sown discord. And that's the one that God hates the most. And that alone is called an abomination, which means on judgment day they are sent to the lake of fire basically on that one thing. And God is going to burn them like that for eternity, because they want to do things their own way. God had set down a set of rules and laws that we're to follow, and if we follow those laws, then we are in the good graces of the Father. And that's why we want to stay within His Word. That's why we don't want to go picking just the good things that He gives us and then write, you know, and mention that and forget all about the other. Because every time you hear the Word of God, think of it as a two-sided coin. When somebody's getting blessed, there are those that are getting cursed. Happens every time. You want to be on the side of the blessing. So when the arrows of discord come flying your way, grab one and throw it back to where it came from and tell them, we don't want this. You can have it.
Absolutely.
It creates a situation to where we're dealing with what we're dealing with tonight. And it's not fun. It's sad. So, Mark,
can we
hear the names of the first 12 individuals up there on the list?
Did you want to swear any justices first, sir?
Yeah, we'll do that as soon as we hear this.
Okay. Well, I have to have, they have to be present, so we have to take roll call before I can give you the first 12.
Okay.
Okay. I don't know who's all here exactly. So that'll work. All right. Well, the state justice tonight, if you'd like to be sworn in, please unmute yourself and state your name and your state, and we'll see how many we have tonight. You can press star 6 or maybe unmute on your phone. That should work.
Donna DeSillis, Free State of Nevada, Interim Justice.
Okay. Anyone else wants to be sworn in tonight that's a state justice? You can unmute your phone. We need to know how many we have on the call so we can know how to
Anthony.
Do it.
Anthony Michael Marcus, okay. Free State of Colorado, State Justice.
Okay, thank you.
That would be confusing.
Anyone else? Is a State Justice that needs to be sworn in tonight? Let me go unmute everybody in case someone's having trouble being unmuted, and we'll see what. Any other state justices that need to be sworn in tonight? Please state your name and your state.
I believe I was sworn in yesterday, just verifying Steve Lennox, State of New York, State Justice.
Okay. Your governor swore you in, Steve?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Very good. Very good.
Very good. Thank you.
All right, Justice Waters, so far we have two. We have Nevada, and we have, Anthony Marquez.
This is Jason Pierce in the Minnesota, Free State of Minnesota, State Justice.
Have you been sworn in, Jason?
I have not.
Okay. Let's see if I can find your name here. Oh, okay. Yep. You're definitely on the list, too. Very good. So we have three so far. Any other state justices that need to be sworn in?
Craig Groff from Rhode Island.
Okay. Very good, sir. Four so far.
Thank you.
Anyone else?
Justice Waters.
Yes, sir.
Justice Waters, Mike Robleski, Free State of Illinois, currently County Justice, and I was vetted for State Justice, but I didn't receive my paperwork, so I need to wait for my swearing in. Is that correct?
Correct. You need to have paperwork from President Geiger.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure because you said there were 12 on the list, and I didn't know if I was on there, but I didn't think I was because I didn't receive my paperwork yet. Okay, thank you.
Yes, sir.
All right, so I have four so far. Anyone else need to, state justice needs to be sworn in tonight?
Hi, Mark. This is Louise Mahoney, Massachusetts Free State Justice. I was sworn in by my governor last Wednesday.
Okay, very good.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else need to be sworn in to the state justice? Okay, Justice Waters, looks like we have four people that need to be sworn in. How would you like to handle it?
Okay, well, let's do this. Let's try it. All four at the same time. That's not too bad. Like we used to do in the Marines. Is everybody that needs to be unmuted?
Yep, everybody's unmuted right now.
Okay. Well, those four that are being sworn in right now, this goes to you. So I will say the word I. You will say I and state your name, and then we'll go on. Here we go. I.
Anthony Michael Marcus.
Jason Pierce.
I, Donna
DeSillis. Do solemnly affirm.
Do solemnly affirm.
Do solemnly affirm.
That I will administer justice without respect of persons.
That I will administer justice without respect of persons.
And do equal right to the poor and the rich.
Do equal right to the poor and the rich.
And that I will faithfully.
And that I will
faithfully.
And
that I will faithfully.
Discharge and perform.
Discharge and perform.
And discharge
all of the duties incumbent upon me. As a justice.
As a justice.
Under the Constitution.
Under the Constitution.
And the laws of the United States.
And the laws of the United States.
And the laws of the United States. So help
and
me God.
So help me God.
Congratulations, guys. Thank you for stepping
up.
Thank you for being to be a justice in our great republic.
Congratulations, everyone.
Thank you.
So, Mark, I'm going to turn it back over to you. Do you have any announcements or getaways or whatever?
Yeah, we're going to take roll call tonight, and we're going to go alphabetically by state, and we're going to use the two-letter abbreviation alphabetization. So we're going to go from A to W. So be ready when your state's close by to say you're present. So is anyone in Alaska present tonight? Anyone from Alabama?
Robin Shake, Alabama. Present.
Thank you. Anyone from Arkansas present? All right. Anybody from Arizona present tonight? State or county justice that's been sworn in?
Arizona Interim State Justice, Sandra Sherman.
All right. Thank you. Hang on 1 second here. Line up the columns here. Okay, got it. Anyone else from Arizona, state or county justice? All right. I don't believe we have anyone in California, but if there is, let us know, please. And if you could please mute your phone if your state's not the next state or so, that'd be helpful. Thank you. All right. Colorado's the next state. Any state justices from Colorado?
Anthony Marquez.
All right, sir.
Daniel Purcell.
Okay. That would be a county justice, correct, Daniel?
Yes, I'm still sworn in as a state justice, but I need to be changed to a county, and I haven't done that yet.
Okay. Let's see. I have you on your list. All right. Is anyone from Connecticut present?
Yes, this is Adrian Tobin, former state justice for interim Connecticut.
Okay, let's see. All right. This is going to be a little complicated here. I got several lists. So, five. All righty. And anyone from Delaware present? It's a state justice or county justice. All right. Anyone from Florida, state or county justice? Anyone from Georgia that's a state or county justice? Anyone from Hawaii that's a state or county justice? Anyone from Iowa that's a state or county justice? Please speak up. Anyone from Illinois that's a state or county justice?
Michael Robleski, county justice.
All righty. Let's see, 5, 6. All right, sir. Anyone else from Illinois county justice or state justice?
State Justice Jen Bird.
Okay. Anyone else from Illinois, state or county justice? All right. How about Indiana? Anyone from Indiana is a state or county justice?
Roger Waters.
Yes, sir. Are you eligible to be the grand for the grand jury? Justice Waters, are you part? Are you available to be part of the grand jury?
No. Yeah. I am.
All right. Okay. All right. Eight. All right. And anyone else from Indiana that's justice? Okay. Anyone from Kentucky that's a justice? Please state your name. Anyone from Kansas that's a justice? Please state your name. All right. Anyone from Louisiana that's a state justice or county justice, please state your name. Okay. Anyone from Massachusetts that's a state or county justice? Please state your
name. Hi again, Mark.
Dave Kaufman, present.
Okay.
And Louise Mahoney, present.
All right. Anyone from Maryland that's state justice or county justice? Anyone from Maine that's a state or county justice? Anyone from Michigan that's a state or county justice? Anyone from Minnesota that's a state or county justice?
Jay Pierce, the state justice.
All righty, sir.
Present.
Thank you. Anyone from Missouri that's state or county justice? Anyone from Mississippi that's a state or county justice? Anyone from Montana that's a state or county justice?
Yeah.
Anyone from North Carolina?
Debbie Joyce Lynn Sharp, County Justice.
Okay.
Sheila Garrett, State Justice, North Carolina.
All righty here, let me see. All righty.
Erica Diaz, County Justice. County
okay,
Judge.
Hold on here. Hold on. I got to look at lots of sheets here to get this right. All right, so we got Sheila. And I'm sorry, what's the first County Justice for North Carolina?
Debbie Joycelyn Sharp.
Okay. I gotta find you here. Were you on last week or last week's call?
Yes, sir.
All right.
Hello, hello, hello.
Okay, wait a minute. I gotcha. Well, all right.
Sorry, did you get me, Erica? County Judge. County Judge.
See here. Let me find it. Erica, you said, right? Let's see.
Yes.
All right. Yep. Gotcha.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you. All right. Anybody else from North Carolina? State or county justice? Okay. How about North Dakota? Okay, how about Nebraska?
Hello, hello, hello.
Hi. Your name, please? Any state or county justice from Nebraska, please state your name. All right. How about New Hampshire?
Marlo Pelchak. County
okay.
Justice.
Ron Nichols, yep. State Justice.
All right, sir.
Beth Petit, County Justice.
New Hampshire Justice, Dan Donald.
All right, sir.
County Justice, Mike Smith.
All right. Anyone else from New Hampshire?
Yes, actually, Senator Randy Hebert here to give testimony, if you want me to.
Okay. Yep. All right. Anybody else anybody from New Jersey? Okay. Anyone from New Mexico? All right. Anybody from Nevada? State or county justice?
Donna DeSillis. Donna DeSillis, intern state justice.
Thank you. Anyone from New York?
Stephen Lennox, state justice.
All right, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else from New York? Anyone from Ohio? Okay. Anyone from Rhode Island, State or County Justice?
Rhode Island State Justice Craig Groth.
Thank you, sir. All right. Anyone else from Rhode Island? All right. How about South Carolina? All right. How about Tennessee? You're some background noise here. All right. Anyone from South Dakota? State or county justice? Okay. Anybody from Texas?
Present.
John Reese, Wood County, Texas.
All righty. Oh, I don't have the updated list. Gosh darn it. Okay.
Amy Strauss, County Justice, Texas.
Okay.
Mark, I sent you the email about 5 minutes before this call.
Yes, you did. I couldn't print it out at that time. Thank you, though. Appreciate it. I'll go back and listen to the call, and I'll get it all squared away. All right, where were we here?
D.W. Wehrman.
All righty, sir. Yeah, you marked.
Lindy Stasik, Travis County.
Okay. You marked as well. Any other Texas justices?
Yes, Woody Thompson from Concho County.
All righty. Anyone else from Texas? It's a big state. Okay, I don't have anybody for Utah, Virginia, or Vermont, or Washington. And if there's anybody here, please state your name and your state. From Utah, Vermont, or Virginia, or for Washington. Sorry. Okay, how about anybody from Wisconsin?
Lynn Melfroid, Kewaunee County.
Okay. Thank you.
Chief Justice Mike Brum.
All righty, sir. Yeah, she marked. All right, 1 second here. Yep. Alrighty. Anyone else from Wisconsin? All right. We'll move on to West Virginia. Any justices, state or county from West Virginia? All right. Last one is Wyoming. Anyone from Wyoming, state or county justice?
Sally Bohart, Free State of Wyoming.
Thank you, ma'am. Appreciate that. All right. Is there anyone that's state justice or county justice that has been sworn in and appointed that I have missed?
David Edge from Colorado.
Okay. Are you state justice, David?
No, county.
County. All right.
Jonathan Gould, interim state justice, Nevada.
All right.
Did you confirm getting that, please?
Still looking here. Hold on. One second.
I had technical difficulties with my muting, so I couldn't. Apparently, you weren't hearing me when we went through Nevada. Well, it's on my end.
Yep, I got you.
Jonathan Gould.
Okay. Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Found you. All right, anybody else that wasn't called upon? It's a state or county justice that's been sworn in and appointed. All right. Roll call's done. If you want the first 12, Justice Waters, I can do that.
All right.
Okay. Thank you, Mark.
Yep. Are we ready?
I think we're ready.
All right. Well, I have former Alabama Justice Robin Schaefer, number one. Then Arizona Justice Sandra Sherman, number two. Number three, I have Anthony Marquez. Okay. And number four, I've got Daniel Purcell from Colorado. And number five is Adrian from Connecticut, is Adrian Trovin, Lynchfield County. And let me find number six here. Number six is Mike Robelski from Illinois. Number seven is Jen Beard from Illinois. And number eight would be Roger Waters from Indiana. Number nine would be David Kaufman from Massachusetts. Number 10 would be Louise Mahoney from Massachusetts. 11 would be Jason Pierce from Minnesota. And number 12 would be Debbie Sharp from North Carolina, Monroe, Moore County, that is. So that is your panel of grand jury members.
Okay. Witness jurors for tonight. Now, guys, the way we're going to do this, every time we have a call like this, the next set of judges or witnesses or jurors will be like number 13 to whatever, and we'll keep going until we're done with this. So you may get called two or three times down the road, or get used to it. All you're going to do is listen to the evidence, how it's presented, and go from there. So, Jim Carpenter, are you on, sir?
Yes, sir, I am present.
Okay. Thank you for being here, sir. Mr. President, are you on? I didn't think he'd be on.
Secretary of State is on in his behalf.
Okay. Is that you, Sandy?
That's correct.
Okay. Well, Mr. Carpenter, as lead prosecutor, I'm going to give you the floor, and you call on Sandy and anybody else who has testimony on behalf of the state. So you're on, sir.
Thank you, Justice Waters. This is James Carpenter, Governor of Colorado Free State, appearing before this this body of my peers. am I allowed to cross-examine or to ask questions, or am I just to bring forth the evidence?
No, you're allowed to.
Very good. Thank you, sir. Sandy, good evening, ma'am.
I'm here, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. I received your affidavit, like Mark, just minutes before we got started, and if you could give us a thumbnail sketch of what you presented in that document, it could be far more lengthy than it is. I would appreciate your providing us what you know about this subject with the Kyra Johnson. And Secretary.
Okay. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. I yield.
Just want to double check before I start, you know, giving you a long diatribe that you guys can actually hear me. Okay. I'm going to pull up my affidavit, and I'm just going to summarize as soon as I can find it. Sorry, guys. I didn't know I was going to be doing this. Okay. So the affidavit that I wrote is about 4 pages long, and to the best of my ability, of course, I was recording the truth. I've been taking lots of notes throughout the time frame that we're talking about, so I'm not going purely from memory, but a lot of this is from my notes or from actual evidence that I have in my possession. Maybe we should mute everybody. Okay. Actual evidence that I can have that I have in my possession, since I was the admin for the Attorney General before he resigned, and so I have all the files, or as many of the files as I can hold. So my first recollection about Kyra is 25th of July, 2024. I was on the vetting committee for Kyra. She was vetting for a new senator for Missouri. No issues. She was appointed on the 9th of August, 2024, but we were already having email problems back then, and the email was resent on the 1st of September of 2024, and she was sworn in sometime at that next Senate meeting, I would imagine, because she was now on the 6th of September when she was becoming a vetting committee member, in other words, being on the receiving end of the vetting committee. So she was helping out with the vetting committees. And next I saw her was the 20th of September, and she was on one of the committees. I'm not going to actually go into that story. On October, there was a personality conflict between the Pennsylvania governor and the Pennsylvania senator. And in the end, the Pennsylvania senator ended up resigning. At the time, the Pennsylvania senator had gotten permission from the Senate admin, Mike Shuttlesworth, to host a, quote, meet and greet, which is social meetings of the Senate on Zoom. There could not be any official Senate meetings because there was no quorum. It wasn't even close. We were tracking that because we knew, and everyone pretty much knew, that you had to have 2/3 of the senators present to have a quorum, which when you have 2 per state, that's 67, that's 2/3. So everyone knew that that was the goal. And they had to be appointed and sworn in and everything. So the Pennsylvania senator was running these meet and greet meetings, and then when she resigned, there was no one to run them. No incidents that I can recall, and then 8th of December, I was talking to Kyra on the phone because she was interested in volunteering to take over the Senate meet and greet meetings after the departure of the Pennsylvania senator. It was clear to me that she fully understood that these were social meetings, and they could talk about Senate-related topics for training purposes, but, of course, they couldn't do any official business without a quorum. The next event that I recall was the infamous Senate meeting on the 27th of January. This was, again, another meet-and-greet meeting because that's all that they could have. And the Senate had invited a guest speaker, Dave Roberts. So, unfortunately, the leadership of the Republic had found out around Thanksgiving time frame that Dave Roberts was actually a 32-degree Mason. Later, we find out that he claims to be a former 32-degree Mason, which, if you've ever read any of the Mason books, you would know that there's no such thing when you get to that level.
This is from an affidavit that I have in evidence of someone that heard him say this to her. So, of course, it was a shock to leadership because we were misled into thinking that he was a low-level Mason. So now he's invited to the Senate meeting, and he's supposedly going to give advice to the Senate about how to do Senate business. Mike Shuttlesworth was informed, and he invited a whole bunch of people. That included Attorney General Tim Turner, myself, Jim Carpenter as the head of the vetting committee, the chairman, also Jim Geiger, and I believe there was one other, and I'm not remembering now who that was. So what was incredible to me was that Dave Roberts was invited to instruct the Senate on business when we had three very, very experienced people that should have been asked. That's Mike Shuttlesworth, the Senate admin, John Pavelski at the time, the assistant Senate admin, or the best one to ask would have been President James Geiger, because he was the Senate president in 2012 before he was called upon in the line of succession to be the president of the country, of the republic, sorry. So they had way, way more and better information than Dave Roberts. So it was clear to me that Kyra was inviting Dave Roberts to bypass the normal channels in some sort of plan that wasn't good, and we all felt this. So we all went on the Senate call invited to give our reports about Dave Roberts. Jim Carpenter gave the report about from the vetting committee. He stuck to the facts. He said, this is what happened. This is what was said. This is what we know. I did the same thing. I commented factually about what I knew. Several members, including Kyra, overreacted in the Senate. That could have been part of a plan. As far as I know, even to this day, no one has ever approached Mike Shuttlesworth, John Pavelski, or Jim Geiger for how to run a Senate, how to hold actual Senate proceedings, even though they are the experts on the subject. So Kyra had recorded the meeting on the 27th of January. That was a Zoom call. We all heard the recording in progress, like you always hear. But when I noticed that this was not the official Zoom channel, but some private channel, I thought, this is too important. I better make a backup recording. And so I did. I turned on an audio recorder that I have as a backup, just in case it was needed. Well, as it turned out, the recording, quote, was lost, according to Kyra. And so my recording was the only one available that we know of. So I happily shared the link that she would have shared with everyone that wanted to listen to it. And it was, of course, within the Republic. Then Kyra accused me of recording the Senate meeting without permission. However, Kyra was recording the meeting, and since it was a meet and greet and not an official Senate session, there's no permission required. Then later, Kyra had to retract her accusation because she'd been caught in a lie, because she had recorded it herself. That recording is available as evidence as needed by the grand jury. Then Mike Shuttlesworth called a mandatory official Senate meeting for the following Monday, which was February 3rd, and that was at the normal time. In other words, the official leader of the Senate was calling a meeting of all senators. Makes sense. However, Kyra decided that she was going to have her own Senate meeting in violation of Senate procedures and at the exact same time. The official Senate meeting was called days before Kyra scheduled her own Senate meeting, and she was very aware of the other meeting, but intentionally overrode the Senate admin and had her own meeting at exactly the same time. She had that meeting. There was about 17 total people in attendance. 10 of them were actually appointed and oathed. And in Kyra's mind, that was enough for her to actually not have a meet and greet, which is what she was only ever allowed to do by permission, and instead called an official Senate meeting, called a quorum, even though everyone knew that you had to have 67 senators for official business. It wasn't even close. In the agenda, she violated procedures again by holding official Senate business off the Senate floor in this unofficial meeting. This included the nomination and election of a new Senate president. This was M.L. Castor, which is another one of the people who was working to undermine the Republic, my opinion. The process to nominate and elect a new Senate president takes months to accomplish, and yet this group decided that they would completely violate Senate procedures and do it in only 2 hours. Perhaps the most egregious was the fact that the splinter Senate said the Pledge of Allegiance to not only the Republic flag, but to Anna von Reitz's, quote, peace flag, which was in the background and does not even exist in reality. This is likely a violation of the original 13th Amendment to the Constitution and a violation of their oath of office. This is not just a simple mistake. In the next few weeks, Kyra was part of a group insisting that the Republic disclose all financial details. She was demanding IRS forms from a foundation that has no IRS status, and so it's not possible to even answer her question. Some financial information was released to answer the main questions, but Kyra refused to accept this information and continue her attacks, especially on the Secretary of Treasury, Kelby Smith, accusing him of hiding financial information. For some reason, my discernment triggered and said that Kyra is probably an undercover IRS agent. I don't know why, but that was my discernment said this. So I enter that only as an opinion. Although Kyra's actions up to this point were 10 times what would be needed to remove her for lack of confidence in her abilities, she continued to act without honor by continuing to have her, quote, meet and greet meetings, but claiming them to be official Senate meetings in violation of Senate procedures. Kyra also, probably with the help of others, and I know some of their names, they will probably be in future grand juries, hijacked the Republic's database of state leader information and then sent emails to them to tell them to attend her unlawful meetings instead of the official lawful Senate meetings. So by this point, it was obvious who the infiltrators were. They were working in tandem, that they've been working on this plan for several months to create discord and divide and conquer the Republic. Just like the infiltration of 2012 and 2016-17, this was the third time, again, probably three-letter agencies in conjunction with Masons, Jesuits, and bar attorneys, to attempt to destroy the Republic. I think that's where I'll stop. Under penalty of perjury, these statements are the best of my ability to be the truth, and I yield.
Thank you, Sandy, for your testimony and your affidavit that you submitted. Let's see. I don't have a docket. Who else do we have to testify tonight, sir? I know
we have... Point of order. Governor Carpenter, this is Anthony Marquez. Is Kyra Thompson a senator, or was she a senator at that time?
Yes, sir, she was.
Okay. I yield.
Yes, sir, Missouri. She was a senator from Missouri. Roger, do we have any other testimony to be heard tonight?
Randy Hebert.
Yes, Randy, go ahead.
Hey, Randy, if you're talking, we can't hear you. Need to unmute yourself, please. I'll go look.
Not hear you.
I don't see Randy anywhere.
Do we have Senator Shuttlesworth?
Senator Shuttlesworth, you here? Please unmute yourself. I don't see him by name anywhere.
Okay.
Yeah, Tim, Jim, the person
yes.
who was speaking during roll call that he had evidence if he could step forward at this time?
That was Randy Hebert.
Where's he at? Not available?
I'll try
texting him.
Then a lot of the info that I received came from him. Same thing that Sandy talked about.
Mike Shuttlesworth said that he is on the call and unmuted.
Go ahead, Michael, if you're available, please present yourself. You might have to dial *6 and then unmute your phone also.
I think there might be a forced mute in progress.
Hi, this is Randy Hebert. Sorry about that.
Yes, Randy.
Hey, Randy.
I just hit *6. My apologies. So I can definitely confirm Sanji's testimony in regards to Kyra. Plus, I can add to that as well. I mean, everything in regards to the history that was spelled out in regards to how Kyra came forward. She was a senator on the vetting committee. She did take over for hosting these meet and greets and was understood that these were meet and greets. On the January 20th Senate call, when it all started with trying to get an expert in regards to bringing in Dave Roberts, I had requested to table that request because they wanted to vote that evening on trying to do Senate business and audit the Treasury. Now, I can also, I brought this to my governor's attention in regards to what was being discussed on the 20th that Kyra was bringing forward along with ML Caster. And I was pulled into a group call. Now, I was already made aware through my governor that Dave Roberts was a Mason. And when it was brought up that they wanted to bring him in, it was the reason why I had requested to bring this forward to leadership for the January 27th call coming up. So in regards to what happened after that call, my apologies, let me back up. Prior to January 27th, I personally had a conversation with Kyra on January 25th, letting her know that Dave Roberts was a Mason going into this January 27th phone call, which she had acted surprised and wanted to at least hear what he had to say, which I kind of found very odd. And then going into January 27th on that four-hour Senate call, she shocked me as well as I'm sure a lot of the senators with her public attack against Governor Carpenter in regards to Dave Roberts. At that point, I was receiving emails from Kyra trying to join these splinter group meetings, which I did not attend, but she posted videos, which I did meeting minutes on. And I can honestly say, going forward, she had every intention of trying to bring down this republic with all the actions that she had taken in regards to causing the division, assisting with everything that had been worked on prior to this January 27th phone call that came to light, that they had been working on this for months, going as far back as August of 2024, talking with governors and secretaries of state. But in regards to Kyra Thompson, sorry about that. I just, for some reason, got muted again. In regards to her actions, they are very clear and concise. She was forewarned by myself
that I can attest to on January 25th of everything that was coming forward on January 27th, and she proceeded to continue in regards to using information that she had gathered while within the Republic. And just all the division was a huge contributing factor. I'm just trying to recall. There was on the February 2nd Splinter Group Summit meeting that she had hosted. I believe it was brought forward on that video, a private recording that she had taken of Governor Carpenter, President Geiger, and herself, be recorded without their knowledge, trying to show that she was pushed out of this position that she felt she had. When, right, you know, ever since I've been with the Senate, it was fully understood that these were meet and greets. We were not conducting any Senate business. And with that, I'll yield for now.
This is Roger.
Yes, go ahead, Justice
Waters. Michael Schultz told me earlier today that he had given Kyra permission to have the meet and greets. It was only supposed to be meet and greets. Nothing was supposed to be done in as far as Senate work. I heard a video recently of how she felt. Everybody was coming against her. She couldn't understand why she was all against everybody that had formed a coalition to come against her. And at the same time, she was, oh my goodness, me, that was on video, that it was me. I'm so harmful, so pitiful that it came against me. You could tell after, you know, she was hating the Republic, but yet at the same time, she couldn't understand why there were those in the Republic that were coming against her. My God, what had she done? We can hear by the evidence what she had done. She's done plenty of unlawful, we would call illegal acts. Number one, the Senate is not allowed by law to have guests come into the Senate and listen, not like they do in the House. The House is the people's work. So people are allowed to come in and sit and listen to what's going on. But in the Senate, they are not allowed to bring in guest speakers and so forth. And that's what she was doing. I yield.
Thank you, sir.
May I comment on that?
Please, go ahead.
That would be true about official Senate meetings, but these are still meet and greet social events without a quorum. So I just want to clarify. I yield.
I'm not sure that these meet and greets that she'd been having in the past were ever open to the public. So this was a first time event in that category. And correct me if I'm wrong. Does anybody have any comment on that?
Mr. Senator Shuttlesworth, can you hear me now?
Yes, Senator Shuttlesworth, please.
Okay, good. It took a while for the star six to unmute me for some reason. But yes, I
I also look through the, you know, if you go out and look at the current corporate Senate that we have now and their proceedings and how they are to conduct business, it gives you an outline of and tells you who can attend a official Senate business, a meeting. Of course, just as Sandy said, that's when you have an official Senate with a quorum and you're conducting official business, which, you know, we've never had in the Republic. And, you know, she knew that if they would have known anything about what they were doing, they would know that. I am available to give testimony if that's what you need or what you want.
Please go ahead and give testimony as to what you know about Tyra and the event at 10.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Sandy and Randy Hebert pretty much explained everything. I don't have a whole lot to add to that because she covered it pretty well. I can say that just to reinforce some of what was previously said, they had asked me on the wire chat if they could get together, and there was only a few senators at the time, and they wanted to know if they could get together so they could get to know each other and, you know, sort of socialize and just talk about things, because I think they were sort of just, okay, we're senators now, what do we do? You know, they were bored, they wanted something to do, so they decided they would like to have these get together, these meetings. And of course, I, you know, informed them that, you know, these are just meet and greet type meetings, but y'all are more than welcome to do that. I said I was really busy at the time. We had so many people coming in, and we were doing vetting calls several times a week, trying to get appointment letters out. And I told them, you know, if y'all want to do that, y'all just go ahead. I don't know if I'll make any of those, or, you know, I might be on one of them when I have the time. But if y'all are more than welcome to do so. And this continued on for quite a while. Just like Sandy said, and I guess in retrospect, you know, I could have, you know, if I would have been on some of these meetings, I probably would have noticed that they were doing things that they probably shouldn't have been doing, trying to do official business. And when we did finally figure that out was when was that, in November or December, when they had the meeting that caused all the controversy, when they invited Dave Roberts and to attend their meeting and give them training on how to conduct Senate business. Also, after everything sort of hit the head, myself and Senator Pawlowski sent out emails. We called people. We tried to explain everything. We tried to calm people down. We even called Kyra, got her on the phone. You know, I apologized if there was any sort of misunderstanding. But I said, you know, we told her that, you know, because she was all upset thinking that she was a Senate leader now, and we were taking her job away. And so, you know, we did our best to try to calm her down and you know, get back on track, because they didn't like the fact that I was, you know, taking over her duties, and, you know, that I wasn't there, and now all of a sudden I'm there and I'm taking over her job.
And that's, you know, originally I think that's why she got so upset. But even after all of that, she continued on having her meetings. She never would respond. Fortunately for us, they kept sending out emails because she had a copy of the spreadsheet and database of everybody's emails for the senators. And she was sending out emails to everybody, inviting them to her meetings, even though we were trying to have official Senate meetings. She was trying to have her own Senate meetings, and she was trying to get everybody to come to her side, feel sorry for her, and, you know, join. I even got an email that she sent out. If you would like me to read that. But anyway, fortunately for us, like I said, she sent out emails, and them not knowing, they just did a mass mailing. They were sending it to myself, and I think even Senator Hebert and Senator Pawlowski at the time was also receiving the emails, and I don't think they realized that. So we knew what their meetings were, and then they would send out an email with the minutes, you know, so we knew exactly what they said and what they were doing. And I think that's when we figured out, you know, that's when we kind of knew that they were probably being, this was probably an operation to take us down. That was my gut feeling from the beginning. At first, I really did sort of feel sorry for her because she did do a lot of good work until everything happened. But it just went downhill from there, and I think that she was greatly influenced by Castor and Roberts. And they just totally split off. And not only was it senators, but I think they were recruiting everybody else. In the Republic also. Think of anything else off the top of my head that hasn't already been said, so I'll just go ahead and yield back.
Well, let me jog your memory here a little bit, Mike, Senator Shuttlesworth. Do you remember going to church with me on Sunday before the Monday of the Senate meeting that I was to testify as to Dave Roberts' official standing? You remember that Sunday?
Yes, sir.
Remember I questioned you? I said, do you realize what Kyra's doing? I read it on the chat last night. You remember that conversation?
Yes, I remember.
Okay. And would I be incorrect to say that you and I and leadership phones were burning up all day Monday prior to the official Senate call regarding this situation?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you, sir. I yelled. There was another person on the floor.
Yes, sir. This is Roger. In 2012, again in 2015, again in 2017, those who are trying to bring down the Republic fail to realize what an email can do. The very last emails of all these groups all point to one thing: who they are for real. In 2012, we've got minutes. I still have them printed out, minutes where they were signing them, Indiana nation state, free and independent nation state. And they just told who they were and all the confusion that they may be going through at that time. Who are we? What are we? All this. Are we a man on our ground, or are we a man with no standing, or what are we? They always put down who they are. Then it was nation state, and it was formed as a nation state, again, free and independent. Well, that's the wordage of the Articles of Confederation. Knowing that it wasn't working, and they were happy to see the Republic come about. But at the same time, they were in distress. So every time that we've had an uprising within the Republic, the last emails from a group of people have always been something to the destruction of the Republic, and it's been brought out who they are. Now here again, we have individuals on the other side who are inside the Republic who are signing their distress, and we can hear it. And it's a nation state type agenda. We can hear it, and it's been brought on by Ira through Dave Roberts, and that information come directly from Dave Roberts and Tim Turner. So when I see things like that, I understand where they're coming from, and it's not a good place. And it's a place that can tear, the good people down. And that's what they were trying to do here once again. I yield.
Thank you, Justice Waters. Do we have any other testimony to be presented here tonight?
Senator Shuttlesworth again.
Yes, sir. Go ahead, Senator.
I just wanted to ask a quick question. I didn't submit any affidavits as evidence. And I don't know how Justice Waters wants to do that, but I could read a little short sentence or two here as an introduction of evidence, if that's admissible.
Sure, go right ahead.
This was sent out by Kyra Thompson to all the senators, dated February the 3rd of this year. I won't read the whole thing, but just a couple of the last sentences of the email. It says, "The choice for me isn't difficult because I know what I know. It simply comes down to we the people taking back the wheel of democracy. Let's be honest, the leadership is not operating as a true republic. They're operating as mob rule. We are at the point where we have 67 sworn senators. So you're asking yourself the question, why is Michael Shuttlesworth doing this right now? Where has he been? Before we didn't have enough to convene a Congress, now we do, and they seem to be afraid of losing what power they think they have. In reality, they have no power over any of us." That's all I wanted to read. That's pretty much the whole gist of what she was saying in her email. So I yield back.
May I comment? This is Sandy.
Yeah, go ahead, Sandy.
Okay. As the volunteer coordinator, I was keeping a very close track on the number of senators that had been appointed and sworn in. And on that day, we had 65. We did not have 67. And so either that is a misstatement or an intentional lie. I yield.
Thank you, Sandy.
To make a big difference, don't they?
Point of order?
Yes.
I have a question, if clarify.
Identify yourself, please.
I'm not sure I'm coming in clear. This is Connecticut.
You've got a lot of background feedback. Go ahead.
Okay. I need clarification on what Randy heard or observed from Kyra. He said as far back as August 2024.
Yes, I can speak to that. So when they came forward and started hosting their separate Senate meetings on, I believe it was the February 3rd meeting where everyone had a choice to either attend the official Republic meeting that was held on Monday nights or to go to Kyra's meeting, it was noted in the video that Kyra had commented on how long they have been talking about leadership and how long that they have been trying to get secretaries of state and governors and other members of different branches as far back as August having conversations with them of what leadership they felt was not doing and that President Geiger needed to be removed.
Okay, I'm all clear now. Thank you very much. I yield.
Well, let me get some testimony to that. And I can confer. And I think probably Secretary of State Marighi can also confer that about that time, it was Ben Barlow and Abel Caster and Kyra and other people that really wanted to know what our funds looked like, wanted to us to implement all these retail operations to drive financing and funding into the Republic. And there was an actor in the background, a wealthy mega businessman from Utah that was willing to dump millions of dollars into the Republic. He just had to be confident of the leadership and their capability of using it correctly. And, rule number one, follow the money. It's always about the money. And so when we told them they couldn't do what they were proposing to do and we didn't have the money to do all that, if we did want to do it, then, they wanted to go deeper and deeper. So I can confer that there started to be agitation back in those days, and that was one of the leading conversations. Let me say that it was a Saturday evening before this meeting on Monday that I was looking through the wire chat, and I saw an open Senate meeting, and the bells went off. Ding, 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 because Senate doesn't have open meetings to the public. So that made me read through the body of the invite, and the invite announced they were going to have Turner and Robert on the meeting as guests. And all the bells and whistles went off. And so I went to church,
met Senator Shuttlesworth's church, asked him if he knew anything about it. He said, well, I've given them, you know, the free will to have a meet and greet meeting, but, you know, we don't have an official Senate. No, I never authorized, nor would I ever authorize anything like that. And, you know, this isn't a good thing. So, finally, I got up and started making some phone calls and doing my due diligence because I have an oath that I need to uphold. And I pulled out the little bag of tricks on wire and got Kyra's information and got a contact going with her. And it was nice. And I said, this is a little out of bounds, you know. And she, at the end of about 15 minutes, her only response was, you're trying to intimidate me, and I'm not going to be intimidated. And I have, you know, the directions from the people that I represent, and I'm going to do what I'm told. And so I said, well, communication's breaking down here right now, so I got the president on a three-way. And we had a three-way. And basically he explained to her his position, which was 180 out from the direction that she wanted to go, and she clearly understood that. And she told the president the same thing she had told me, that she wasn't going to be intimidated, that she was going to do what she had been directed by her people to do. And she was going to proceed on. So at that point, I'm sure I reported back to Senator Shuttlesworth and let him know what was going on. And at that time, it was agreed that I needed to level the playing field with the truth by being the chairperson for the vetting committee. It was my responsibility. The buck stops with me. And I was to deliver the truth to the Senate before this meeting started, which I tried to do in as most professional manner as possible. And it is what it is, and the truth always comes out. But conversations that I've had lead me to wonder other things. I hope that this body of peers find it interesting to stuff that maybe they would like to know who she was taking her orders from to have such a strong backbone. To defy the president that appointed her? Really? What does she know that we don't know, folks? Just saying. There's a lot more evidence out there than that, but that ought to be plenty enough to begin a good conversation if we need to go any further. I'll yield back to you, Justice Waters.
Thanks, sir. I find it interesting that every time the Republic begins to talk about budgets, money, and how we're going to spend it, something happens inside the Republic that tries to tear us down. Maybe we should just let that moment come and go as please and not talk about it. Every time, back in 2012 it happened, 2015 it happened, 2017 it happened, all those times, people inside the Republic started bringing up the budgets and so forth of the Republic. And if we don't have ourselves in a situation to where we can actually go out and acquire things, maybe we should just look at it as a thing of nice that's coming down the road, because we can't do it right now. Just an observation. This was something that Kyra was trying to bring out and manifest in the Senate, and she's trying to rush it. We don't need people doing that in times and places where it's not prepared yet. We need to wait for certain things, and certain things haven't happened. At least I haven't seen them. And Jim Carpenter has done a great job as seeing some things that are taking place and being brought forward. But it seems like there's a spigot that's cut off for us. Why? Why did we get that? It's just a question I have. That's something that in reality takes place. And unless we are absolutely sure of the fact right then and there, I don't know if we should be talking about budgets and letting that out of our box for people to hear and read. Just my opinion. So does the prosecution rest in this case?
Do we have any more witnesses for the prosecution?
Yes, this is Senator Sharrow in Wyoming.
Go ahead, Senator.
I want to concur with Secretary of State Mariaki's testimony. I have a transcript of that entire meeting that Greg Ostenmeyer and I have been in.
I think we lost him.
Okay. Am I back?
There you go.
Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Anyway, the transcript of that meeting that took place where they were wanting to get into the Treasury, in the books of the Treasury, all that's in a transcript that I provided with Shelby Smith the next morning following that meeting. So I 100% concur with Secretary of State Mariaki's testimony. I yield.
Are there any other witness prosecutions? Please step forward. One last time. Any other witnesses for the prosecution or last comments? I yield.
Point of order?
Yes, sir. Identify yourself.
Yes, this is New Hampshire Justice Derek Arnold. And
yes,
I just want to know, are we giving any testimony when it concerning Dave Roberts or just Kyra right now?
Kyra.
We're just Kyra right now. Is that correct, Justice Waters?
Yes, it is. Dave Roberts comes in a couple weekends.
Okay, I'll wait until that time comes, and I yield. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Point of order?
Yes, please identify yourself.
Robin Schaefer, Alabama. Was
yes,
Dave Roberts a member of the Republic, or was he just an outside guest that came in?
He never passed the vetting committee, ma'am.
Okay, that's what I wanted to know. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Justice Waters, I'll turn it over to you. I close.
Okay, thank you. Defense. Does the defense have anything to carry on as witnesses?
Well, this is Mark Finder, and I have nothing right now. I would ask, is there anyone here today that has testimony or evidence in defense of the accused, Kyra Thomas? Please bring that testimony forward at this time. Can you unmute yourself? Star 6. I'm going to unmute everyone just for the moment to see if there is anybody that can unmute themselves. So is there anyone here today that has testimony or evidence in defense of the accused, Kyra Thomas. Please bring that testimony forward at this time.
Point of order?
Yes.
This is Kyra Thompson, and I have a few things I would like to say, if that is okay.
Kind of cheeky on this call.
Well, I mean, I am the accused, and according to our Constitution, I do have the right to face my accusers. Is that not correct?
Correct.
And it's sad that I wasn't, formally acknowledged of this. Pretty sad. You guys are accusing me of violating the Constitution, yet you are doing it yourself.
You are not a member of this republic, ma'am.
Well, and you guys are having this trial saying because I didn't turn in a resignation letter, which is not true. I signed one with my whole state, and I did sign it, but I didn't need to because I have a removal letter. You guys gave me a removal letter. Am I allowed to give my statement?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yes?
Yes.
Okay.
I object, Justice Waters. This lady has willingly removed herself from our jurisdiction. She has no presence in our jurisdiction. I yield.
Then how are you trying me if I'm not in your jurisdiction? That's pretty contradictory of what you're doing right now.
We're trying you when you were in our jurisdiction. I yield.
Am I going to be able to make my statement, or am I not? I mean, after all, I think I have a right to defend myself.
I'd make a motion.
If you were in our jurisdiction,
I'd make a motion you would that, have
a... I'm sorry, I can't hear you both talking.
Justice Waters, I'd like to make a motion that we'd like to have her statement for the record, if that's permissible for you.
I second.
All right, so may I proceed? All right, thank you. First of all, I did contact Sandy and asked her when Brenda Smith left if I could go ahead and take the reins. And Sandy didn't want to make that call, so she wanted me to go to Michael Shuttlesworth. Well, I got on wire to do that, and Randy had already asked Michael Shuttlesworth if it was okay to do so. Michael claimed, and I have screenshots, and everything I'm telling you, I have evidence if anybody would like to see it. There was a screenshot that said that he was busy making packages for President Geiger, and that he, if somebody else wanted to take the reins, please do so. There was no conversation with Michael Shuttlesworth and I at all about anything. There was no guidelines. There was no rules. There was nothing. In fact, that was what led up to trying to seek out Dave Roberts. Why Dave Roberts? I didn't know him. We were told that it was the Republic's constitutional expert. And the day before we contacted Dave, you all had already asked him, you were still asking him questions. And he will attest to that, I'm sure. But I did not know Dave Roberts until that point. There were no rules set in the Senate. We were still trying to find our way. We were trying to learn procedure. I am not educated as a politician, per se. And so we were trying to find our way. And so there was on January 20th, there was a discussion about trying to get people in to answer our questions. And to also say this, we did have other guests on. Michael Oyola was on to tell us about assemblies. There were several other guests that were invited in to speak to us. We were trying to educate ourselves. So we did have that. And Jim Carpenter did not call me. President Geiger called me. I do have a recording of the entire conversation. Any of you who would love to have it, I'd be happy to send it. Just reach out to me. My email address is KyraThompson3170@gmail.com. I also have a recording of Michael Shuttlesworth, who called me the same night before that meeting and asked me not to have Dave Roberts on. We are supposed to be a constitutional republic, and I was acting as if it were. I was there to do the will of the people. Yes, I did say that. Why did I say that? Because everyone in that meeting voted, including John Pawlowski. John Pawlowski never spoke up that night. If he was supposed to be a senior member, he should have spoke up. He did not. They waited till 2 hours before that meeting and called me, and they intimidated me. They tried to. I felt like I was put in a very hard position because I was either going to have to get on that call and explain to them why I wasn't going to let this guest on that they voted for. And Jim Carpenter didn't want to come out into the light. He says that on the phone call. But he did not call me. President Geiger called me. Jim Carpenter ended up calling Geiger when halfway, I don't know, we were like 20 minutes into the phone call. And then he merged Governor Carpenter in to the call. I was not trying to do anything against my oath, against the Constitution. I was trying to be a voice for the people, simply put. Michael Shuttlesworth called me. He did call me. They did call me when him and Pawlowski called me. And they agreed to let me do a final meeting and do a smooth transition to Michael Shuttlesworth. But he lied. And I have that phone conversation as well.
Backups,
they lied. They lied to me. And so I was actually advised by someone to continue to have my meetings. So I did. And it went from there. I have screenshots. I have video recordings of all of the calls. And Sandy Marecki claims that we said the Pledge of Allegiance to Anna Von Wright's flag. That is a blatant lie. And I have the recording of that February 3rd meeting if anyone wants to see that as well. I am totally disheartened. I joined a republic to try to save this country for my grandchildren. I am not an agent of the FBI, the IRS, nothing. I wanted a transparent and open government. And I didn't think requesting bank statements and 990s, you know, I didn't know what a private, a PMA is. I never have proclaimed to be the smartest person in the room, because I want to educate and learn. I have done taxes for 30 years. I knew what a 990 was, and I wanted to know what the standing of this republic was. And I'm going to tell you, they fought tooth and nail. They don't want to show you the paperwork. They don't want to show you the bank statements. They don't want to show you anything, because apparently they have something to hide, is my opinion. That's my opinion. But I am disheartened, because when I got into this, I prayed for 3 weeks before I submitted my email to join. And I felt like God was pulling at me very strongly to come into this. I knew nothing. I knew nothing about politics. I came in with an open heart, a loving heart, and an open mind. And I'm just totally disgusted and disheartened by my experience. But I don't think it's fair for you guys to have a trial like this and not even honor the Constitution yourself. So I yield, and if anybody has any questions that they would like, you have my email address. You're welcome to email me.
Go ahead,
is this in fact a grand jury or a trial?
I was told it was a trial.
This is a trial.
It's a grand jury.
Who told you?
I was sent the judicial call that you guys did last week.
Point of order.
Go ahead, Jim.
I have a question for you. What's the difference between an elected position and one that's appointed? Tell me the difference.
Well, an elected position is being elected by the people.
So who elected you to this contest that we find ourselves involved in? I'd like to know those people's names, please.
I'm sorry, can you repeat that?
Who are the people that you feel elected you to bring this conversation to this point? They're not at the table. I'm asking you to identify them. Because I know who appointed you, and that was the president.
He had appointed me through the Northwest Ordinance, which is one of the findings we found to be unlawful. It's not lawful. And so after you guys gave me the removal letter, I've been removed as an appointed person, and I've been reinstated as a elected or appointed by my governor. Per our 1820 Constitution, she has appointed me back to Missouri.
See, that's my point. You're no longer in our jurisdiction.
But you're having a trial on me. So let me ask you a question. How can you have a trial on me if you don't have jurisdiction? If we don't have equal standing, how can you have a trial on me?
But I can't let you out because my phone will go dead. So can you wait?
You created these actions in our jurisdiction voluntarily by your own agreement that you were under appointment, and you decided that you didn't want to observe that appointment anymore because you didn't agree with your oath of office. And that's what this whole
trial is. I'm sorry, point of order. That's incorrect. I was removed. I didn't volunteer. I was removed.
After violating your oath of office, it appears. That's yet to be decided. I yield.
Anybody else have any questions for me?
May I be recognized?
Yes, go ahead.
So what part about meet and greet did you not understand about your Senate responsibilities?
It was never explained to me as a meet and greet.
Well, that was the phraseology that was used from the very beginning when they started meeting.
I wasn't included in that conversation, Sandy. I just knew that we had had a meeting with Brenda, and then we all tried to get back on that next Monday night. We were going to get on, and nobody knew what was going on. Everybody was like, what's going on? Where's Brenda? And nobody knew anything. So four women got together, and we said, well, should we go ahead and try to do this? And I said, you know, wait, let me call Sandy. I don't know how to proceed. And I did call you,
and you referred me to Shuttleworth. Yeah, that was on the 8th of December, 2024. I have all the notes on that conversation.
Right, and so as do I. And so I went on to Wire to ask Michael Shuttleworth, and Randy had already asked him, and I have the screenshot of that as well.
I heard you first time. So how many is in a quorum in the Senate?
Well, I have a recording of Justice Waters explaining that to us. And it's not what you guys said. It was Basically, if I remember, and I would have to go back and look, but if I remember correctly, he said it was determined on how many. That's what led us all the way to Dave Roberts, by the way. Justice Waters said that if we had 30 sworn-in senators, then we go by that number. And it was either 50 plus one or two-thirds, depending on what we were voting on. So this caused confusion. And we decided, well, you know, we need clarification again. And we started seeking clarification.
Why would you seek clarification outside of the Republic? Why wouldn't you talk to your boss, Mike Shuttlesworth? Why wouldn't you have talked to John Pavelski? Why wouldn't you have talked to
I did
to
not know. I did not know that Michael Shuttlesworth. I did not know that Michael Shuttlesworth. The only person that I knew in there that was in there that had any kind of seniority was John Pawlowski. And I did refer to John quite a bit.
So you're trying to tell me that that flag behind you guys at the very beginning of your 3 February meeting was something else other than Anna Von Reitz's flag, because it's clearly 100% Anna Von Reitz's flag right next to the Republic.
I do not even know what Anna Von Reitz's flag looks like.
How did
I
know,
know
what
her
say that? Boy.
Well, it's the truth. That's why.
No. Okay, fine.
I'll have to go back and look at it because I don't even know what you're talking about. I don't know what flag you're talking about.
It may be known
as the one that you admired so much. You admired it so much. It's so much better flag, he said. I like your flag so much better. Almost a direct quote.
Well, it might have been an observation as a pretty flag, but I had no clue it was Anna Von Reitz.
Okay. So do you not know that you were not appointed under the Northwest Ordinance, but you were appointed under 1 Statute 50, even though your appointment letter says this?
I saw the appointment letter, and that's one of the conversations I had with John Pawlowski was statute 1 Statute 50 says with the advice and consent of the Senate. It doesn't say a senator. It says the Senate.
It doesn't say
Senate.
The whole Senate either. No, it doesn't say the whole freaking Senate either. So why are you interpreting it that way when that's not what the intent was? If the intent was that, they would have written it that way. See, this is the group trying to undermine us with an interpretation of something that is not proper.
That is not true, Sandy. That is not true.
100%.
No, it's not 100%. I read that as 1 Statute 50 says, with the advice and consent of the Senate, not a senator. And I find it hard to believe our founding fathers would give that kind of power to one man. It didn't make sense to me. And so when you guys look at the statute, when you look at that 1 Statute 50, and it goes to the Supreme Court Strader v. Graham, and it gives all those numbers on there, right? What appears to me in looking into it and having someone look into it for me, a constitutional person, they say that in that 97, that once the Constitution was ratified, the Northwest Ordinance became null and void. That's what I was told.
And that's why it was brought forward as codified under 1 Statute 50, a constitutional law that you violated. That's why you
he says that that's not law.
Well, no, you crapped upon it.
I mean,
so therefore,
that's above my pay grade. I can't argue that because I don't know it.
Point of order.
We do have a right to question things, though, Sandy. We do have, except for it seems like in this group, you don't have a right to question things. You get removed if you're questioning anything, and that's not cool, man.
And that's the BS that comes out of your splinter group, because we are not disallowing questioning. We are disallowing accusations and crapping upon the foundational principles of this republic. 1 Statute 50 is a constitutional law. You took an oath to all constitutional laws. You do not get to cherry pick which constitutional laws you like and don't like. Tim Turner doesn't either. And so you cannot say, I don't like 1 Statute 50. therefore I'm not going to follow that one. That's like saying, well, I don't like Section 5 in the Constitution, so I'm not going to follow that one.
Oh.
You don't get to do that. You took an oath, better or for worse. You got to follow all of them.
Well,
so what's
point
that?
Of
I don't
order,
know what you thought you were taking an oath to.
Point of order? Point of order?
Go ahead.
I have a question for Kyra, but before I ask this question, I just want to determine whether she is under an oath of or an oath right now for her testimony.
Not yet. I have not said the oath yet for the state of Missouri. I've only been appointed.
Well, are you accepting to the truth, so help me God, under this testimony you're giving right now, and any questions you're going to answer before I ask this question?
I do, so help me God.
Okay, my question is, Dave Roberts came in as a guest speaker without being sworn in under an oath of office, correct?
That is correct. That's what I was told, yes.
And without an appointment letter from President Geiger, correct?
That is correct.
And you brought him in to meet and greet meetings with the Senate, correct?
That is correct.
So you brought
him
in.
I didn't bring him in. Let me clarify. I didn't bring him in. It was a vote that was done on January 20th. And no, there was all ayes, no nays.
Okay, so those ayes, they agreed to bring someone in to speak with the Senate, pretty much doing Senate business without an appointment letter or an oath of office, correct?
That is correct, but you have to remember this too. He was being used as a constitutional expert by Vandy and by President Geiger, is what we were told.
Okay, and
that's
he
why
was
we
also
chose him.
But he was also claiming he was a postmaster general, correct?
Point of order.
That's not correct.
Well,
point of
that's
order.
Go
to clarify something, Senator Hebert, I was on the January 20th call, and the vote that was taken was to table the motion in regards to whether or not the Senate held the purse strings and if they were going to vote on the budget committee for the communications. It was agreed that possibly we would need clarification and that Tim Turner should be consulted. Dave Roberts was brought in by M.L. Castor, but the vote that was taken was to table the motion in regards to holding a vote on auditing the budget. There was
no vote
taken in regards to bringing in Dave Roberts. I was on that call. I would have objected to that call.
Randy, did anybody object whenever it was brought up by M.L. Castor? Did anybody object? Did anybody say anything, any objection at all?
There was no vote taken as to clarification on who would be brought in. Tim Turner was to be consulted and texted. Dave Roberts responded immediately that he was available, but the vote that was taken was to table the motion, and I personally requested to have time to review the Northwest audience for the upcoming Senate meeting on January 27th. There was no vote taken in regards to bringing in Dave Roberts.
Point of order?
But there also was no objection.
Can I finish my question with Kyra real quick, and then you can jump back in, just so I don't lose train of thought, and I think it's going to be important for the people to hear. And this is just logical from listening to testimony from other people and things I've dealt with as far as Dave Roberts goes, and this goes all the way back. I met Dave Roberts in 2023, but we'll talk about that when we get to him. But what I want to know from Kyra is, Dave, we already established that Dave was never appointed and he was never sworn into office, period. So he had no business even doing any kind of business with the Republic, period. And so my question to you, Kyra, is from the time that Dave Roberts came into these meetings and then and you being formally let go or relieved your duties, did you do any business or interaction with Dave Roberts concerning any Senate work in between that period of time?
No, I did not know Dave Roberts. I didn't meet him until that night.
Okay. But when you had him in the meeting, you were still an appointed servant for the Republic, for the people, by the people of the people. So you were still you're saying before you were relieved of your duties by President Geiger, prior to being relieved, were you in contact with Dave Roberts?
No, I never contacted the man. I did not have his contact information. I did not know who he was. I wasn't the one. He was recommended by ML Castor because we were told he was who the Republic was using as a constitutional expert. That was the information I was given, and I never spoke to the man. Not until much later. Much later I did, but not during that time period, I did not.
When you had contact with him, were you an appointed official for this Republic? No,
I was not.
You were already dismissed of your duties, correct?
That is correct.
Am I getting that right? Okay. I needed to know that. And from that point, when you did get contact, when you finally had contact with Dave Roberts, did he not drive into your head that President Geiger was out of his power and operating out of his power? Did he drive that into your team's head, whoever was holding these meetings afterwards? Because I've experienced hands-on. So I'm kind of wondering where all this nonsense is coming from when people are trying to splinter this Republic. It just doesn't make any sense. But I know for a fact, hands on, the moves of Dave Roberts. And if he was right here, I'd say it right to him. And I plan to. And if it comes down to it and he defends himself, then he's going to have to speak under oath as well as me and anybody else. And that's under God. So, I mean, I'm going to yield with that, but I mean, this seems like all along, and I'm talking all the way back, even October, there were situations going on, and I'm hearing dates after. So that's why I'm asking those questions, and I'll yield with that.
Thank you.
Floor's open.
Point of order.
This
is Illinois Free State Justice Jen Bird, and I'm just going to state a couple of objective statements just from sitting down and carefully listening the last few minutes. With the evidence that we have presented on hand and in print this evening, Kyra clearly misused and abused her authority, overstepping boundaries at times clearly willingly and deceitfully and with malice. And deceitfully would be her coming into this meeting unannounced and uninvited tonight. And with malice, very new to the chat groups, I saw her arguing with Sandy about the taxes, and it was clearly the wrong place and the wrong time. I, as a newbie, just made note of it and filed it away. But clearly other people might not have been so permissive, if you will. Her infiltration at our gathering tonight, again, was deceitful. With these private versus public accusations on the chat about the treasurer, was inappropriate and out of bounds. She admitted on the record just now in her talking with us this evening that she made herself a self-appointed voice for the people, which is above and beyond the appointment as a Republic senator, with clear guidelines from what we were told, that she, for whatever reason, it doesn't matter. I'm not about the details. I'm about the actions. She clearly disregarded. So I am of the frame of mind that when you want to know something, say a stance of our president, you go to the president and you do it in private, first and foremost. You don't call a meeting and have a vote on it. So that's, again, just another observation. Anything outside of that is misconduct in my my humble opinion, and it is a breach of the oath that we took. I motion that we ask Kyra to leave this gathering and that she attended uninvited and unannounced and carry on with our business at hand as one of the members of the grand jury this evening, if I may. And so I yield.
This is Cindy. May I be recognizing the question?
Yes. Go ahead, Sam.
So, Connor, before you leave, what is the procedure for electing a president of the Senate?
What do you mean?
What is the procedure for electing a president of the Senate? What are the steps?
Well, according to President Geiger, they have to put their name in the hat first.
Okay.
And basically give a campaign speech is what he said. And then there's a vote taken.
Okay. How long is that process, would you imagine?
I don't know. It depends on how many people put their name in the hat.
So when did you talk to Geiger about this?
I think it's on the call. The call is with him. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that was the day before the 27th. So we're talking the 26th time frame.
No, this was the 27th. This was the day of the meeting, 2 hours before the meeting was to start.
Okay. Thank you for the clarification. And so then on the 3rd of February, when you elected a new president of the Senate,
we did not
comply with all.
You need to watch that February 3rd. We did not do that.
I did it twice. Okay.
There was a practice procedure of nominating people. We were trying to learn Robert's rules. But there was no election. There was a nomination.
Mm-hmm.
But not an, there was no election.
Yeah, because your governor actually congratulated ML Castor as being the new president of the Senate. So that's a really interesting
Well, she did that in error, Sandy, because that's not... There was a nomination, but it was a practicing of Robert's rules. We were trying to learn Robert's rules so we had some more order in the process. Because again, I've never been in a role like that. So we were trying to learn how to do all of the yielding, point of order. I've never been in any kind of organization where you operated like that. So we were trying to get comfortable with that. But there was not an election. There was nomination.
But you didn't think of talking to President Geiger about all this as the former president of the Senate to get all this information in advance. Is that correct?
No.
But you did read the Re-Inhabited books where it talked about him taking over as president when Tim Turner was arrested, correct?
Yes. Now, it's been a while since I read those books, so don't question me on the details there, because I'd have to refresh my memory. Anybody else have any questions?
Point of order. I have another question. This is Derek Arnold. New Hampshire Justice again.
Go ahead.
You made a statement in your testimony. You made a statement in your testimony that the Northwest Ordinance was unlawful. Do you have that proof 100% without a reasonable doubt that you're under oath in your testimony stating that the re-inhabited republic, the Northwest Ordinance, is unlawful, which I don't believe. I don't believe it for a second. But anyways, is that your testimony under oath?
You're going to have to rephrase that question because I didn't understand it. Say it again.
You stated under oath in your testimony that the Northwest Ordinance was unlawful. Do you stick by that testimony under oath?
I said that's what I was told by a constitutional expert that I consulted.
You didn't testify to that. You testified that we were using the Northwest Ordinance, which was unlawful. And I'm just wondering.
Yes, I was told that once the Northwest Ordinance, once the Constitution was ratified, I was told that the Northwest Ordinance became, it is no longer. Yes, that's what I was told.
Okay. Follow up question for that. You testify that you were told, hearsay, that the Northwest Ordinance was unlawful. Did you do any further research to find out the true answer that it is lawful?
I've done all kinds of reading and collecting of articles, and there's a lot of debate over this subject, a lot of debate, lots of confusion.
Under testimony, you cannot say for yourself that the Northwest Ordinance is unlawful 100%, correct?
I can't say that. I'm not a constitutional expert. I can only go based on what I was told.
Then I request the testimony of the Northwest Ordinance being unlawful stricken from the record, because unless you're going to claim that under an oath of testimony. So, I mean, I'm just trying to clarify the facts of this whole situation, because I'll give you my opinion now. My opinion, it was nonsense, because we're all in this together, and it does no good when you're harming a nation of people, good-hearted people, in listening to
I agree with that statement.
Right.
I agree with your statement, and it's sad that we have to be divided. It's not what I wanted.
Well, the problem is with many people getting things fed into their minds by Dave Roberts that isn't even an appointed official, which is acting out of order anyways. So to me, it's nonsense, and I just wanted to clarify those facts, because when you said lawful, that this Northwest Ordinance was not lawful, you know, I just want to see proven facts that you can make that statement under oath. That's all. And whether you heard it or not, using it in your testimony. So
I appreciate you trying to be clear. I do appreciate you trying to be clear. I appreciate you doing that. But that's
okay.
I'm not going to profess that I'm a legal. I don't know. I can't answer you that 100%. So.
Okay. But your testimony is that you have never had any talks with Dave Roberts while you were an appointed official, still active with the Reinhabited Republic, correct? You didn't have any contact. Okay.
I did not.
Okay. I yield with that. Thank you.
You know, the final thing that I would like to say is I was really disheartened last week when I was given this call to listen to. And the fact that I feel like you all probably came in, you know, with the same heart that I did. You want to see change in this country, and you want to see a better world for your future children, grandchildren, whatever it may be. That's why I came here, you know, and even though, you know, this may be, I don't even know what you would call this, but given the fact that, you know, this could be treason, which is, what's the penalty for that? Death? You know, I just, it broke my heart that, you know, there wasn't, first of all, that I wasn't consulted and asked to be a part of it and give my story, my side, my evidence. You know, I can't believe people could vote nonchalantly whenever the penalty would be death. I would ask a lot more questions. I just wouldn't have done that. It was very heartbreaking to hear that, because I believe you all are probably good people. You all have good intentions, and you probably all want the same thing that I do, and that is, you know, a truly free country for my grandkids to grow up into. And I don't know what else to say.
Point of order.
Point of order.
Thank you, Kyra. This is Governor Carr. And I will acquiesce to you, because I do my best to be honest and truthful. And yes, President Geiger may have initiated that call that you have the conversation of at my request after contacting you personally. And he was a way that we could get three of us together. So he may well have initiated that call to you. And I acquiesced. You're probably right on that. I don't have all those details. There's a lot going on right then. But I know that the three of us had a conversation, and you refused to abide by our what was brought to the table, because you were going to do what those people you represented asked you to do. So let me get to the elephant in the room, and I stand corrected by this panel of elite people, Justice Waters, Sandy Mariki, others. And I'm going to ask you a question. Have you ever heard of the program named Restore America Program?
What program is that?
Restore America Program.
I haven't heard of that, unless you're talking about, like, Judy Byington. I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay. Well, let me educate you. That was the people that sent the provost marshals to give the governors their options to come on board or to be put in acquiesce. That Restore America program is where the people went and got a convention of states to come forth with the Declaration of Sovereign Intent and the Claim of Interest to take on to the nations around the world. Have you read that much of the Re-Inhabited books?
Yes.
So we're on the same page? So,
yeah, there's a lot of background noise. Sorry.
What was the objective of that to stand up the Republic? What was their final objective but the first rung in the ladder? Let me just concentrate on the first rung of the ladder. And what is the first rung of that objective?
I don't know where you're going with this,
well,
Governor. I don't know what you're trying to... I don't know what you're doing.
Trying to give it to you teaspoon by teaspoon, but I'm going to give it to you the whole way. See, these people that used to hold an oath of office, like myself, because I speak from personal experience, unlike only maybe one or two other people on this call. See, I remember the day I was elected by the people to my position, and we were a state in the free states, in union, to take a document to the world. And I remember that, and I have all that documentation. And I remember the day that President Geiger was elected by an electoral college. Now, correct me, anybody that has any
correction for me, that's the first rung of the ladder, because that effort was successful in establishing a quorum of states in Congress with the ability to operate within our jurisdiction as a Congress. And so that Congress, seeing the demise of our country, reached into the toolbox and re-inhabited one Stat 50 to go forward, because at that time I was left being a self-appointed governor pretty much, although I took an oath to the people I represented, maybe a handful left after they abdicated office, along with many people that you consider leaders today, like John Pawlowski and Robert Zuluaga, chaplain and Secretary of State, and many others. They abdicated their positions once that objective was achieved. And now there's a new government, another step in the ladder. And they enacted the Northwest Ordinance in the box to bring it forth. So now that's the law that the president and Congress signed into effect. So where does that leave me as the governor of a free state? That leaves me with a decision. Either I stay under the laws of the republic that has international standing and accept an appointment as a territorial governor, or I stand alone because I was elected by the people to the Colorado Free State. And now I'm a governor of a handful of people. I got no international standing, and I got Obama and everybody else that's looking to put me on the terrorist watch list. So I'm going to tell you right here, I went with the republic because I can see that was the way that we were going to come together and achieve the goal. And I became an appointed governor of a territory, a military operation to get the job done. So now I am no longer a governor that I represent the people. I represent the president to get the job done under appointment, just like you did. I hope I make myself crystal clear. I yield.
Point of order.
Go ahead.
This is John Reese with the Wood County, Texas Justice. Is this meeting tonight a grand jury hearing?
Justice Waters, you want to speak on that?
Oh, yeah, I was just wondering, I just wanted to know if this was a grand jury hearing.
Well, from what I understand, this is Mark Binder, what I understand is that it is a grand jury trial to bring forward an indictment or not an indictment.
Right, that's what I thought.
The trial will be after that.
Right. And so the
preliminary trial, I would call it.
Right, okay. And so I've never heard of a person who's being accused to be in on a grand jury meeting. Is that true?
No, she was not invited on at all, and she was actually supposed to be a closed judicial call for only appointed and sworn in or affirmed in justices.
Right. Okay.
Yep.
That's what I wanted to know and clarify.
Yep.
I still had the number from before in my notebook, and I was sent a call by several people. It was since last week, so I didn't know it was a closed call. I just was told it was a trial, and the trial involved me.
Well, Cara,
there's an awful lot of stuff you really don't know.
I personally applaud you for having the oomph to step forward and defend yourself, and so I state that. Thank you. I yield.
I don't have anything against anybody. I don't want to. I've resigned from the town hall meetings that I was doing from the other side as well. You know, it's a shame. It's heartbreaking. Because if we can't all come together somehow, what hope do we have?
Well, my point is that if this is a grand jury meeting, then you're not going to trial yet because we're just reviewing the evidence for a trial. Is that not correct?
Well, point of order. This is Jen Bird, and that goes to that goes to my understanding when I spoke earlier that we were told initially that this was a proceeding, is all. So we are not at the point where we're beyond an indictment for a conviction or a sentencing, and this was not the proper place or time. And Kyra just simply said earlier in the meeting that she heard the call from last week, which is public record, and if she heard the call, then she knows for a fact that this was a closed meeting and what we were going to do this evening. To come unattended and uninvited is, again, deceitful and malice. And you may want the same thing that we want, but how to go about doing it are two different things. And that was stated very clearly about us taking an oath to the Republic versus being a voice for the people. The electors are the people. This is, as an appointed official, that was not your position. And simply, we have guidelines that we must follow. And those were clearly abused and misused. Based on the evidence on hand and your own statements this evening. So, again, I'm going to motion that we ask you to leave this gathering and that we continue. It is Father's Day about the business at hand. And I ask for anyone to second the motion or not.
I second it. This is John from Wood County, Texas Justice. I second the motion.
All right. I will be leaving now. I just wanted to be able to defend myself. I think that I should have had a right to, ask for evidence.
Well, that's what we're reviewing is the evidence. You haven't been accused yet, as far as I understand how the grand jury process works.
So right. One question before I leave. Was I going to be invited to the trial then? Because I was told this was the trial. So I'm confused. And I understood it from what I heard on the call, too, that it was a trial, that the trial would be tonight. Like I said, I'm not claiming that I know how all this stuff works, because I don't. I do not.
Again, that's why we're here, because people are listening to other people and not finding out for themselves.
All right. I'm going to be leaving now.
Thank you, Kyra. Justice Waters, are you available?
I don't know what the heck is going on. Something is very, very wrong. I thought we'd be said that for the
end. Okay, Justice Waters, apparently communication problems.
Let me see if I can find
you. No, I'm here.
I only have
okay.
A preview window.
The floor's yours.
Mark. Thank you, sir. Mark,
yes, sir.
You ask if there's any other witnesses?
There are witnesses?
I shall do that. Is there anyone here today, any additional people that has testimony or evidence in defense of the accused, Kyra Thompson? Please bring that testimony forward at this time.
I'm glad you guys are here. Keep going. The shadows are weak. DS is going to
come. All right. I have no further witnesses. My case is closed with grand jury deliberation. The defense rests.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes,
point of order? Yes. If you're not talking, please mute your phone. Yeah, I heard somebody say something that we said an hour ago. Okay. Well, we're going to close this out. If you have anything you want to say, please send it to me at anything I'm on my email address. That's bad.
LEPA Republic
61. @gmail.com. Thank you.
Point of inquiry.
Say again.
Point of inquiry.
Yeah.
Justice Wehrman, to make things a little smoother, in one, to help with Mark in roll call and identifying who's who and everything, and so that everybody sees who's on the call and we don't have this quote-unquote infiltration again, can we move to a video-based platform?
We can try that. Mark, is that all right with you?
Yeah, that's all right with me. I don't know which one exactly. The free conferencing video one seems to be good. You can see 25 people on your screen, whereas I can only see maybe 7 people on this voice one right here. So being able to see 25 would be advantageous to me for sure.
Okay.
We could also use
And then on the second point on that, switching over to that, is having two or three justices that are on the call that are not of the 12 of the jury to be monitoring those. So Mark's not having to do it by himself and call on people. I yield.
Okay, thank you.
Go ahead, Justin.
This is Debbie Joycelyn Sharp.
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
You guys were saying that affidavits were here and there, and I just emailed them to you. I think the jurors should get a copy of whatever affidavits are being presented, because if you took time to do it, that is wonderful, but you only read part of it. I'm a person that reads terms of service. I would love to have read the affidavit. And I did.
We'll try to get those to you.
Thank you.
Email me. And so I have your email address.
And, yes, sir.
My regular computer, I had to dump it, which all my info went out with it. So I'm starting from scratch, if you don't mind. So everybody's email I do not have. So if you would, just email me. I'll shoot you something back. And if, like if you needed something important like that, and we'll try to get that to you. And
thank
you. I yield. Mark?
Yes, sir.
You want to close out with prayer?
I'd be happy to. Heavenly Father, we humbly come to you and thank you for all that you have bestowed upon us. We thank you for the gift of our Savior Jesus and for the gift of your grace and mercy. We ask for forgiveness of our sins, known and unknown, and we pray for those that we have done wrong to or have done wrong to us. We lift those up that are struggling in health, mind, and emotions, and we pray for peace and calm over those who don't understand. We ask, Father, for you to have mercy on our nation and bring us out of bondage of the evil ones and Mystery Babylon. Be with all those in Washington and across the nation as we hope and pray for a peaceful transition of military power to quench the possible civil unrest that could cause unnecessary loss of life and property here, and that our military always demonstrate valor during this brief transition. And the people be respectful and appreciative for the sacrifice of service that every one of those fine soldiers and their families make because of their love for our American public. So, Father, bring your glory and your presence through our lives. Shower us with wisdom and understanding, and help us to make good choices and do rightful proceedings. We ask all this according to your will, your word, and your plan, Heavenly Father. In Yeshua's name, God save the children, God save the Republic, God save America, Canada, and the descendants of the 12 tribes of Israel. Thank you, Father, and amen.
Amen. Thank you, Mark.
Yes, sir.
Well, everybody, we're going to try to meet. Yeah.
Are we going to come to some finding tonight, or how do we come to an agreement with the 12 people that are on the jury?
Well, let's do this. First 12 people, what your thoughts are as far as the jury member goes, and would you select True Bill or No Bill? Well, we already had a True Bill come forth last week. This will add to it. Yeah, so we need your advice and your consent here. Yay or nay, True Bill or No Bill?
Yay.
Go ahead and go.
Justice Pierce in Minnesota, yay.
Okay. Thank you.
Adrian Tobin, Connecticut Free State, yay.
Okay.
Louise Mahoney, Massachusetts Free State, yay.
Okay.
Sally
Denver, Illinois,
Wyoming
Free State,
Justice.
True Bill.
Could you please do that again? I didn't quite catch that. One at a time, please.
Sally Bohart, Wyoming Free State, True Bill.
Okay.
I beg your pardon. And Denver, Illinois Free State, True Bill.
Okay.
Dave Kaufman, Massachusetts Free State, True Bill.
Okay.
Right.
Anthony Marcus, Colorado Free State, True Bill.
Okay.
Michael Robleski, Free State, Illinois, True Bill.
Okay.
This Roger is Sandra Waters. Sherman.
Oh. Go ahead.
Sandra Sherman, Arizona Free State. I say True Bill.
Thanks.
Steve Lennox, Free State, New York, True Bill.
Okay. I am Roger Waters from Indiana, and I say True Bill. Anybody else?
Of the 12, there was a Daniel Purcell, Colorado. Is he still here? Well, I might have it muted. Hold on a second here. Sorry about that.
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
True Bill.
Okay. One more. North Carolina, Debbie Sharp.
No Bill.
Is that no or true?
That's no.
No, okay. And Robin Schaefer, Alabama. Don't see her.
Point of order?
Yes.
Robin Schaefer?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead, Robin.
Okay, True Bill.
All right, thanks. I'm sorry, go ahead, ma'am.
Oh, it's Sandra Sherman in Arizona. I was wondering, when we get a copy of these affidavits and possibly a recording, can we change our mind if it's not what we think it is right now?
Yeah.
Okay, you thank can. You.
Point of order?
Yes.
New Hampshire Justice Derek Arnold. I just have one question on this. I'm not part of the grand jury tonight, but the question I have is, what is the exact charge that will be on the indictment for this? Is there an answer for that yet, or is that not determined at this point?
Yes, there is. Number one would be the breaking of the oath. Number two would be treason. Number three would be sedition. And then number four would be the conspiracy to commit treason and sedition which means that you and somebody else are acting alone. So there's more than one, two. There are two or more working on the act to get it done. So that will be the charges that can come out of this. So
okay,
next week we'll provide exactly what it is.
Okay, sure. Great. Thank you for the clarification. I yield.
Point of.
Thank you. Yeah, go ahead.
Is it Adrian?
Yeah,
just to make my conclusions clear, it's a breaking of oath, sedition, and conspiracy to commit treason. I yield.
Okay. All right. Anybody else?
Can you hear me, Robin?
Yeah, go ahead.
Do we know who told her about the procedures tonight? And do we also know who told her about the Northwest ordinance not being correct?
Yeah, I don't know who told her all those things. I got a feeling it's the Dave Roberts groups. I'm pretty sure it is. But,
yes.
Don't know for sure at the moment. We need to find that out. With that, I yield.
Point of order?
Yes.
This is Adrian Tobin.
Go ahead.
I just found it very interesting that someone told her that the Northwest ordinance was unlawful.
Right.
And she claims she didn't know anything or even talk to Dave Roberts until that night in January at that meeting. So, yeah, I yield.
Well, the Constitution actually says it talks about the Northwest Ordinance, 1 Step 50. Talks about that. And if it talks about it, it must be important. You'll find that in the last paragraphs of the Constitution. So these people, they don't read their Constitution very well. When they do, they don't comprehend what it says. There are statements in there that you can say make or made or dismade a particular object. However, it's also stated in that Constitution that whatever is not written in that Constitution belongs to the state. Well, that was written in the Constitution, so the state has no say on it. It belongs to the national. The national will always trump the state. So if it's written in there, it's the law of the land. That's all I can say about it. Pretty simple. Anybody
point
else?
Of order.
Point of order?
Yes.
Mike Robleski, Free
point
State, Illinois.
Order.
I'm concerned about two things tonight. The protection that we have, she obviously infiltrated the evening. She said she was on last week. It really disturbs me. She listened in on everything last week. I think we need to ramp up our privacy here. She
Absolutely.
Listened last week, and she jumped in this week, basically an infiltrator. Number two,
right.
She mentioned that her governor reinstated her in the Republic.
Yeah.
Did I get that correct?
Yeah, you did.
The governor is not in the Republic.
Point of order.
How was he able to do that?
Illegally.
The governor is not.
Point of order.
Yes.
Just a reminder with her testimony, when she claimed the Northwest Ordinance was unlawful, Statute 50, she threw in and claimed that she was operating under another statute with another group.
Right.
And being assigned by her governor, that tells you what he's all about. He's part of that other group. So that is infiltration with her coming in. And this is a grand jury, not a trial, so she had no right to be there, no constitutional right to be there, because there hasn't even been an indictment yet. So I yield with that.
I'm concerned if her governor's infiltrating this group.
Well,
he knew about her and he let her back in.
Well, no, to know that she is, she doesn't get on the phone much. Trying to think of her name.
Stephanie Flawless was the governor. She's not a governor anymore.
Stephanie,
When
she resigned, she doesn't have any authority anymore, so she can't appoint or depoint or whatever anybody in any position. If she does, it's because she's working under Ten Turner's 2.0. That's why. And if that's the case, and she's trying to infiltrate us, boy, oh boy, there's going to be some serious consequences for that. I hate to tell you.
I'm concerned if she's been removed from wire and who's feeding her information that she's listening to our calls and I don't know. This is really kind of frightening.
Yeah.
It's called espionage.
Yeah. Most we will do.
Point of order. This is Jen Bird again. And I agree with you, Mike, my fellow justice, that I was concerned that her governor, too, reappointed her. It was clear when Sandy sent out the paperwork that there was a process if these people wanted to come back that we'd have to go through. And I don't know if that process has been set in print or not yet. So we definitely need to have something. And I would strongly suggest that maybe we get new codes and kind of keep them close to the vest with whatever new platform we use or even the current one, just with new numbers. Because she said a lot of things. She was talking out of both sides of her mouth clearly many times.
Oh, absolutely.
But one of the things that she said is that she had the numbers done before, but then she heard the phone conversation. And other people said that she was on the phone conversation. So she's been saying a lot of different things, but whatever we can do to tighten up things a little bit better. And if there's anything that I can do to help, I'm free to assist.
Well, you got to look at it.
I second that.
We now heard the voice of the fox. The fox is always cunning and trying to come in through the back door. We've now heard the fox talk.
Point of order?
Yeah.
Point of order. Two things.
Go ahead.
That governor at the time that she was referring to was identified as part of the splinter group and has been removed from the Republic, okay?
Right.
So
right.
She's been removed from Wire as well as Kara Johnson and ML Caster and, you know, this whole group of people that are encouraging her to do this stuff. So they're not in our midst. And, you know, yeah, we do make our stuff public because we're not hiding anything. And we do publish a playback number, you know, on our newsletters. So, you know, it's totally obvious that there's all kinds of access, you know, and that's why we do a roll call and so on and so forth to know who's here. And I like the idea of going to another platform like Zoom or GoToMeeting. Okay? That being said, we're privileged to have the President of the Republic for the United States join us, President Geiger. We were just about ready to do a final tally, but we'll yield to you, sir, for your testimony regarding what you know about this conversation with Kyra Johnson, and I yield to you, Mr. President.
All right. Thank you, Governor Carpenter. I'm not sure what the previous discussions have been, but I can't testify that. Can everybody hear me okay? There is a lot of background noise on the phone, so if everybody would mute your your phones if, yeah. I guess y'all are hearing me okay now.
Thank
you. What I was saying, I can't testify that I was on a three-way with Governor Carpenter. And I assume, Governor Carpenter, who exactly we're talking about, just so I know for sure.
Kyra Johnson, senator from Missouri, when she was getting ready in the following hours to bring Dave Roberts into the conversation with the Senate and Tim Turner.
Right. I can't tell you the date or the time off the top of my head, but I do remember the phone call on the freeway. After some discussion we had with her, I told her basically that the issue with Dave Roberts was with a committee, and the committee was trying to keep his, you know, protect his privacy. We didn't want to bring up our dealings with Dave Roberts to the whole republic, and said basically that by her having him on the phone call, that she was going to force us to have to deal with it with the entire Senate and everybody else that she's invited to the phone call, which is entirely, in my opinion, unethical on her part to make that assumption that she did. But that's part of what forced Governor Carpenter to say what he did. I'm sure you guys may have heard the recording on that Senate call, but kind of forced his hand to spill some of the stuff that was being kept in private to not just a small committee of people, but to the entire Senate, entire folks that were on that phone call. Only God knows who all she invited to it. But I'm not sure what else this body might need to hear from me. So if you have any questions for me, I'm here. I yield.
Thank you, Mr. President. Well, I have one for you, and that is, in your opinion, did she violate her oath of office?
Absolutely. In my opinion, she did. Not only that, through the actions she took, but also subsequent actions she continued to take, which I think there was a committee over in the Senate, actually, that was documenting a lot of those also. So if judiciary has not interfaced with that committee, maybe it was, not sure the name of it, maybe it was the Ethics Committee, or it was a committee in the Senate, but they were keeping track of all the folks that were violating the oaths of office and everything that they were doing to cause harm to the republic.
Point of order?
Yes.
That committee, President Geiger, was the Intel Committee, reporting back to leadership. I yield.
All right, thank you. So I would highly suggest that the judiciary get with the Intel Committee. I'm sure they have a lot of data over there, in case you would like to hear it. That would be up to the Senate to provide that. I yield.
Point of order, this is Justice Pierce of Minnesota. I reside on that committee. So just so everyone's aware.
Who's the head of that committee?
Lynn, Cheryl.
Okay.
Senator Cheryl.
Okay.
I am driving in traffic, so if you have more questions for me, I'm open, but then I'll need to go ahead and get off.
Well, thank you, sir.
Any more questions of me?
Thank you, Mr. President. Happy Father's Day, my friend.
All right. Thank you.
Y'all have a good evening. I'll stay on a minute or two more, just in case.
This is Robin Schaefer. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
All I can say is for Alabama, everything that was discussed tonight with Dave Roberts and different undertones is what I heard. I joined I had my letter since August of last year, and the negativity without understanding what was going on in the Senate. But everything that was discussed tonight happened here in Alabama, and so it has at least destroyed Alabama as far as their original foundation that we had with all of their officials. And so it's been, what, however many months? So, again, I do see the breaking of the oaths and all the harm that has been caused by, I mean, to Sandy, President Geiger, all of us that are in the Republic, but we're standing strong and together. And so with that, I yield.
Doesn't take long to find out who your enemy is in the Republic.
Point of order.
Go ahead.
Derek Arnold, New Hampshire Justice. Again, sorry. I just want to clarify and remind everybody that her, Tyler, I believe her name is, her testimony tonight claimed that she was brought in by another governor, which is not part of this republic, mm-hmm. which that is pretty much admitting that she's still working towards overthrowing the re-inhabited republic actively.
Right.
So no matter what else she said with her testimony tonight, that alone told everybody that she's still active with somebody else, another whole group. Now, whether they're sworn in under an oath of office that's even lawful, I mean, there can only be one lawful republic, period.
Right.
So I yield with that just so everybody remembers that testimony. And I asked her straight out, it's whole truth, nothing but the truth under your God, under God here. And she, you all heard her say, yes. So,
yep.
You know, I yield with that. Just remember, and I yield. Thank you, Mr. President, for coming on and making an appearance.
Point of order. This is Adrienne Tobin from Connecticut. Not only did she say what was just stated, but then she contradicted herself and said that she left the town hall meetings from the other side. I yield. So she's, yeah.
If you
give them enough rope, they'll hang themselves.
Well, and Justice Waters, I thank you for allowing me to make the motion to have her go ahead and speak her words.
Oh,
I thought it was, felt was, you know, maybe inappropriate, but, you know, God's timing, not mine. And so I yield that. Mr. President, I think we're ready for a vote tally, and you're welcome to stay on, or you can leave and go enjoy your Father's Day.
All right. Thank you all. Good night, everybody.
Good night, Happy Father's.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good night.
Okay, good night. So we vote tally.
You want to go ahead and do
11
that?
True bills.
Okay. Once more.
We were just doing the first 12.
Yep, 11 out of 12.
11 out of 12. 12, okay.
11 to 1.
Okay. Just for the record, thank you, everyone. Thank you, Mr.
Thank you. So,
thank you,
you've already said prayer, evening prayer, haven't you?
Yep, yes. We're still recording, too.
Okay. Well, I want to thank everybody for being here. Thank you for your patience. Thank you for the work that you're doing. And this is going to get interesting over the next few weeks. And have a safe week. We'll talk to you all next week. And this is Roger Waters. I'm going to clap. Class out, and we'll talk to you next week.
Good night.
Have a good,
good night,
everybody.
Happy Father's
Day,
everybody.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.